Nos vamos para la cumbre COP26 en Glasgow. Nos atiende Eric Dalhuizen. Él es director de la Aberdeen Climate Action. Trabajó en el petróleo como ingeniero 30 años. Es consultor de petróleo, sostenibilidad y un activista del cambio climático. Vive en Aberdeen. Aberdeen puede ser uno de los sitios del planeta que tienen una riqueza única. La pureza de su agua. Bueno, de allá, vienen precisamente, de esa parte de Escocia, los whiskies más sofisticados del mundo. La primera pregunta tiene que ver, para un hombre que tiene en experiencia 30 años con el petróleo, el tema del fracking. ¿Cuál es la opinión de nuestro invitado, Ana, sobre fracking, teniendo en cuenta que pues varios países del mundo, incluyendo Colombia en etapa experimental, están alineados con el fracking? Él, con 30 años de experiencia como ambientalista y además como experto de petróleo, ¿qué opina del fracking?
Good morning, Mr. Dalhuizen. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio. And we want to begin by asking you your opinion in terms of fracking. Many countries in the world, including Colombia, have aligned themselves in their position in terms of fracking. We want to know, in your experience, what do you think about fracking?
Well, it's my background in the oil industry has about 15 or 20 years of production technology, which fracking is one of the techniques that we use in that that skill, in that area. When you refer to fracking, you're referring to shale gas fracking, the kind of fracking that changed the gas production in the northern U.S. specifically. And there are two problems with fracking in that way, and that has become clear from the efforts in the U.S. as well. One of the problems is the risk to groundwater and indirectly via groundwater pollution to emissions, and that means that leaking of methane, climate change gas, and everything else. So it's a really high risk proposal the way it is done in shale gas fracking. So, from a technical perspective, it's not straightforward at all, and it's high environmental risk. Now, the other part of shale gas fracking is that shale gas is known; it's a low profit area. Let's put it that way. Shale gas fracking is more expensive than producing gas from a traditional well. That means the margins are lower. That means the safety the requirements are less stringent typically, and the drilling is much faster and much higher risk, and that means there is a bigger chance of risk of emissions of methane specifically, which is a really potent greenhouse gas. And that is leads me to the second problem, which is whether you frack or whether you produce traditional hydrocarbons, you're producing fossil fuels. And with the current climate change scenario which we have, we cannot afford to do that anymore. So not just is fracking in itself, you know, starting fracking is a really bad idea, because starting any additional oil or gas production is a really bad idea from a climate perspective. But also fracking gas is a higher risk, higher methane emissions risk than ordinary gas, which in itself is already a bad idea because that has a really high emissions level. So the choice is really very clear. It's fracking is a really bad idea.
Bueno, el resumen es que el fracking para él es una muy mala idea. Lleva 20 años de experiencia en esto, trabajando en la tecnología de producción del gas, y nos dice que es una tecnología que tiene muchos efectos y es muy peligroso para el medio ambiente. Y nos dice que hay dos problemas específicos con el fracking, y es el riesgo de que se contamine esa agua que está bajo la tierra, porque se pueden filtrar esos gases contaminantes contaminantes, y entonces por eso lo considero una propuesta bastante riesgosa si hablamos de los efectos en el cambio climático. Nos dice que esta propuesta no es clara y que tiene un riesgo ambiental bastante alto. Por otro lado, nos dice que la rentabilidad es bastante baja, producir gas de la forma tradicional para él es mucho más rentable, los márgenes de ganancias con el fracking son bajos, entonces hay muchos chances de arriesgar y emitir muchas emisiones de gas que son absolutamente contaminantes, y el problema del fracking también es que se producen combustibles fósiles, que son una mala idea ahora mismo para evitar la contaminación del medio ambiente.
Ahora, por favor, pregúntele a nuestro invitado cuál es el mayor desafío para pasar a un sistema de energía verde y una sociedad de cero emisiones para la industria del petróleo y del gas.
What is the biggest challenge to move to a green energy system and zero emission society for the oil and gas industry?
It's a fascinating question, and this is exactly how the question is often asked. And the problem is, the way I look at it, it is not possible for the oil and gas industry to convert to zero emissions. So if you are looking at a zero emission society, which we have to look at in the future, the oil and gas industry do not play a part in that. And that is because the climate change is for 80 or to 90% caused by the use of fossil fuels, and we have to get rid of the fossil fuels. And this is precisely one of the problems with the energy transition, yeah, which is something that everybody is waiting for, and little bits of it are happening, but it's not happening at the speed or the scale that is necessary. And from my perspective, and that includes the perspective that we're looking at here in Aberdeen and in Scotland and in the whole UK in itself, that is a direct consequence of this question. Everybody is looking at, okay, we need to convert or change the oil and gas industry to become a net zero transition industry, and that is not possible. Whenever you get the oil and gas industry involved, they do what they are best at, and the oil and gas industry makes their money from selling oil and gas. So whatever transitional ideas they come up with, and there are plenty of examples, you know, from the blue hydrogen, which in the UK is now a really big thing, there are plenty of examples. Whatever the answer is, if the oil and gas industry is involved in making the transition plan, then it boils down to delays. It boils down to solutions which do not end up eliminating fossil fuels from the story. So the way that the transition needs to go is to stop using oil and gas industry advisors for advice, and to start using people who are have an understanding of new industries, or who have an understanding of this transition process, not from the oil perspective, but from the new net zero transition process, and to use yes. their advice and to follow that.
Bueno, nos dice que es una pregunta fascinante porque esa es la pregunta que todos se hacen, pero él ve que no es posible hacer una transición a un gas y petróleo, a una industria de gas y petróleo que sea sostenible, porque muchos esperan llegar a cero emisiones y con esta industria no es posible, aunque se debe mirar a ese objetivo en el futuro. Nos dice que el cambio climático no acepta el uso de combustibles fósiles, se deben eliminar por completo, y por eso cuando se habla de gas y petróleo y cómo hacer una transición más amigable con el medio ambiente, con esta industria, pues básicamente es perder el tiempo porque eso no existe. Es, digamos que esa idea, y hay muchas ideas actualmente para darle respuesta a esa industria de gas y petróleo de una manera sostenible, pues básicamente lo que se hace es perder el tiempo, lo que se hace es mirar otra perspectiva y sacar a la industria del gas y petróleo de, digamos, del panorama, porque con esos dos en el escenario no es posible que se eliminen los combustibles fósiles.
Sacando a esos dos del escenario y a la vista de que la energía sostenible y verde tardará algún tiempo, se ha abierto otra vez el debate sobre la energía nuclear. ¿Tiene sentido ese debate en este momento?
Taking out of this equation oil and gas, and considering that sustainable energy and green energy is still going to take some time to be able to be, you know, available to the masses, the debate about nuclear energy has arisen again. Do you think it's worth it? Do you think it makes sense to discuss the possibility of nuclear energy again?
It is very difficult to discuss the possibility of nuclear energy specifically because of the timeline. Because nuclear projects, the expansion of nuclear energy, is something which has a much slower, much longer timeline than renewables. So on the one hand, when you decide now that you need more energy and you want to build a nuclear power station, that will take you between 10 and 30 years, depending on the technology you have. If you want to do the same with solar or wind, then within 1 or 2 years you can get the same response. So the timeline for nuclear is the way I look at it, is actually beyond the requirements from the climate. So looking at nuclear now, I think in large part is a distraction. There are a lot of other reasons why. Well, let me touch on one point first. If we are looking at going to renewables, renewables are intermittent energy suppliers. That means when the sun shines, you get solar. When the wind blows, you get wind. And when neither of those happens, you have very little, so you need storage. Or you need a supplier that can fill in those gaps. The problem with nuclear is that it is very difficult to adjust the output of a nuclear plant. That's why traditionally they are called base load plants, because you switch them on, and if you want more by the end of the week, then you need quite a few days to actually change the power output of a nuclear plant. When you have renewables and nuclear together, then that doesn't work, because the renewables need something that can change really quickly, whereas nuclear can only change very slowly, so that they don't actually add to each other. My understanding of the nuclear industry, it is another big industry which is very much ingrained in the government lobbying process, just like the oil and gas industry, and they are trying to stay alive. Now, there may be niche applications of nuclear industry, and don't get me wrong, I'm a physicist by background, and when I was at university over 30 years ago, everybody said, oh, we'll find a solution for the nuclear waste problem soon. You know, right now, I'm 57, and we still are no nearer finding a solution for the nuclear waste problem. So even independent of what nuclear energy is, without looking at the waste, I don't think it fits in with a renewable, clean world. But if you look at the waste problem, which still hasn't been solved, and it's not, you know, we've been looking for a solution for these for long enough, then I think that is another difficult point to approach. So I don't see nuclear as a solution. I think there may be niche opportunities for nuclear somewhere, but the way it is now, it is highly energy intensive.
Yes.
Nuclear energy is much more expensive than renewables,
Let me translate that really quickly, please. Nos dice que es muy difícil de discutir de energía nuclear por el tiempo que se demoran estos proyectos, que son mucho más demorados que los renovables, que las energías renovables. Entonces, cuando se necesita con la energía que se logra por el aire, el sol, 2 a 5 años de construir, para la energía nuclear, una planta de estas demora de 10 a 30 años para construir. Entonces, va mucho más allá de ese tiempo de lo que nos exige ahora mismo el clima y el cambio climático. Nos dice que esta energía nuclear es mucho más una distracción, porque además no se pueden, digamos, alternar estas energías renovables con la energía nuclear. La energía nuclear es mucho más lento y no se puede, digamos, cambiar rápidamente de una a la otra, entonces no se pueden adaptar las dos. Nos dice que además los residuos nucleares han tomado ya muchos tiempos encontrando una solución para esto y todavía no la encuentran. Cuando él era físico, estaba estudiando física, pues estaban en ese problema y 50 años después, pues no hay una solución para esos residuos nucleares. Entonces él no cree que la energía nuclear entre a estas soluciones renovables que se están buscando actualmente.
Algunos activistas presentes aquí en esta COP26 de Glasgow han criticado la llamada Alianza Financiera Cero, que está integrada por 450 bancos y que promete que va a invertir 130 billones de dólares para apoyar la transición hacia una economía descarbonizada. ¿Qué piensa él de esta iniciativa?
We want to get your opinion about the Financial Alliance for Net Zero Emissions, alliance formed with over 450 banks that promises billions of dollars to help climate change. And we wonder, what is your opinion about this alliance?
To be honest, I haven't given it very much thought, but in first approach, yes, a financial support which takes a step away from fossil fuel interest and takes a step away from large emitting industries and takes a step towards the move to net zero is tremendously valuable. Yeah, let's get that straight. Financing is an important part of the transition. Where the criticism may come in, and again, I reserve judgment until I get more clarity on what this is about, is what is the definition of net zero? What is the definition of a green result? And if we look at what is happening now with the EU, with their transition, I forget what it's called, but they have a transition incentive fund at the moment, where they are arguing that maybe green is also natural gas, or maybe green is also nuclear. And when that happens, then it becomes greenwash, then the money goes to the wrong place. So if this money ends up in the right place, stimulating the right projects and actually helping achieve this net zero emissions, helping go beyond fossil fuels really quickly, then it's got to be a good thing. If it doesn't do that, then yeah, it doesn't help.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure for me too.
Bye, bye. Bueno, nos dice inicialmente que para ser honesto no lo había pensado mucho. Sin embargo, nos diría que un apoyo financiero siempre es muy importante, siempre y cuando se esté alejando del uso, la emisión de combustibles fósiles, el uso de combustibles fósiles, y se avanza a cero emisiones, eso siempre es positivo, y nos dice que el financiamiento siempre es una parte importante, pero las críticas pueden venir de que si esos recursos van a buscar una manera más sostenible de usar el gas natural o la energía nuclear, pues el dinero va a ir direccionado al lugar equivocado. Pero nos dice que más allá de eso, el financiamiento es positivo, solo que hay que saber en qué invertirlo.
Grace, pero yo quiero felicitarla por la traducción del pedazo anterior, porque era un lenguaje bastante técnico y me parece que usted lo hizo mejor que el autor.
Ah, pues lo hice resumido, un resumen ejecutivo. Probablemente.
¿Cómo que ejecutivo? Súper ejecutivo.
Probablemente me faltaron cositas, pero pues la idea siempre es como resumir.
¿La vida siempre es resumir?
No, pues la vida no, pero la idea en el resumen ejecutivo es resumir.
Muy bueno, insisto.
Sí, porque ella lo interpreta.
Exacto.